Well, Sarah, thank you for joining us. This is our third episode of our Everyday Disciples podcast. This is just an initiative we've been doing to hear stories, hear testimonies. And you came to mind very early on in that. Just we would kind of know a bit about your story. And as we were organizing this, we thought we'd love to have you on. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And just to start, that's kind of my first question for us. Like, who is Sarah? just give us a bit of a quick look into Sarah Reed.
Yes, good question. My name's Sarah Reed, and I turned 30 this year, so I'm feeling a bit old.
I'm almost there.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, one of the most exciting things that's been happening recently is I've gotten engaged and we'll be getting married
this
August. So yeah, definitely a big part of my life. And yeah, other than that, I grew up in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. I went to school here. I studied at the University of Waterloo. I studied international development and peace and conflict studies at Conrad Grebel University College. And yeah, I love to do sports. I'm a long distance runner and I grew up playing soccer and rugby. I love to go rock climbing and really just love being outdoors. And yeah, God's given me a heart for mission and his church. And yeah, I'm sure you'll hear later how that also plays into my life.
That's great. What's your like ideal running distance?
Oh, when I'm trained, 16 kilometers is very nice.
That is about 15.8 kilometers further than I enjoy running. So that's good. That's very far. This is a question I always ask, so people are already familiar with it. What is something that makes you feel fully alive? Or what are the things in your life that just make you feel fully alive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think definitely sports and just being outside and in nature. I live in Austria and they have got some great hiking trails, mountains, just being, outdoors. I'd also say coffee, not only because of the caffeine, makes me feel quite alive, but also because what comes with coffee, which is normally deep conversations. And yeah, one thing that really, I've noticed in the last little while brings life is just building relationships one-on-one with people, discipling people. That could be over a cup of coffee. That could be, somewhere else. But that's really, something that's God's put on my heart and that brings joy. And yeah, I think being able to ask people what God is teaching them, being able to share with them what God's teaching me, I find is just amazing, encouraging for me. It gives me a better perspective of who God is, and I get to bless and be blessed by it. So
that's great. And you took the words right out of my mouth. My next thing I was going to say was, there's no better place to do discipleship than over a cup of coffee. So that works together really good. So we heard a little bit about you at the start and through this conversation, but why don't you just give a bit of a connection to WMB? Because you're not here every Sunday anymore, right? Yep. So why don't you share a bit about the connection, the history, and just kind of link that up for even some people who might be newer to our church community?
Yeah. So I grew up at WMB. There was a little while where my family moved to the Victoria Hills area and we were part of a church plant there. But then I was in grade 6 when we came back. So WMB is kind of, what I remember. And growing up, I remember I was part of the youth group. I would go on their mission trips every March break. Later, I was part of young adults. I was a Woomba leader and worked there one summer. And I also am connected through my ministry in Austria. Most of my prayer and financial support come from WMB. And what's really exciting is that this fall, there'll be a short-term mission team sent from WMB to Austria. And so that's also a very cool connection and an encouragement for me.
Yeah, that's very exciting that that team came together and that we're able to partner with you in that. That's very exciting. So you shared a bit about like your upbringing in the church, but why don't you just give us a quick insight? And I say quick because obviously we could hear that this could be an hour-long podcast, right? When we asked this question, but why don't you just share a bit about your faith journey? Just your walk with Jesus and how that came to be.
Yeah, so I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. And I think on my mom's side of the family, many generations of Christians. And I think each time I reflect on that, I'm just more and more thankful for that. And so I grew up in the church. I grew up hearing about God. I grew up reading the Bible. And I would say I knew a lot about God, and I could give the right answers in Sunday school. And yeah, I was happy to come to church, but I think I was living kind of off the faith of my parents. And yeah, as I was growing up, there was a few key things I think that played into my faith journey. One was when I was a kid, I had a lot of fear, and I really remember how God helped me through that and gave me peace in that. And the other thing was how God answered prayers. As a kid, I remember praying for very specific things and just seeing how God answered them very directly. But yeah, I think it wasn't really until my first year of university where I went on a short-term mission trip with Multiply, where I would say I got to know Jesus as a person. And that was a very impactful time in my life. I feel like that was the time where I started to learn how to hear God's voice. And I think in any relationship, obviously communication's pretty key, and being able to talk to someone and hear someone really, really builds that. And so learning to hear God's voice, I think, really just opened up so many doors. And at the same time, I think receiving God's love from His Spirit was also a big piece that happened. Being able to receive God's love personally from Him just opened my heart to how I viewed other people and how I loved other people. And on this mission trip I was going on, we went to Turkey, and I was just blown away by God's heart for the people there and His love for the people there in a Muslim country, and it surprised me. But what surprised me even more was when I went back home from this mission trip to my school, to my university, to the church here, and realized, oh, God loves these people too, like as much as those people. And it just, yeah, became a part of my life. When I would go to a new place, God would just open my eyes for, yeah, His love for the people there. And that, yeah, really changed my view on a lot of things. It really, yeah, I think opened my heart to serve. And so when I came back from this trip, that's kind of when I got involved in WMB and the young adults and became a leader there, doing Woomba and different things. And that, yeah, was a significant time in my life, just where my faith grew. And yeah, I got to know Jesus.
I love that. Because also you mentioned, like, yes, you went on some of these mission trips and they were really profound and really beautiful and good. But then it also brought you to come back and really try to live out on mission here at home.
Yeah.
And actually, sometimes living on mission at home is one of the hardest places to live on mission, right? Yep. Sometimes it's easier to go to places where you don't know anyone. I go to places where things are new, where you can identify as a missionary. But at home, you identify as yourself, in your case, Sarah Reed, right? So that's really cool, and that's really encouraging. I really appreciated that. With that, you shared a little bit about already kind of the missionary journey. But I'd love to just kind of dive into that and dig a little deeper in that. If you could just like take us through, like, how did this come together? How did you want to become a missionary, right? Obviously, that's not something that everyone chooses. So I'd love to hear a bit about that. And then specifically, why Austria? How did that come together?
Good questions. So I think, I guess desire to be a missionary started very young. I remember, I don't know, I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I remember telling my dad I wanted to be a missionary. And a bit of context, like, my dad worked in a mission organization. I was around missions and kind of knew what it was. And yeah, so I told my dad, Dad, I want to be a missionary when I grow up. And my dad, in all his wisdom, was like, Sarah, well, as a believer, you're going to be a missionary, whether you're studying, whether you're working, wherever you are, you're going to be a missionary. So as my 5-year-old self, I took that and was like, okay, going to be a missionary, and forgot about it. And yeah, for many years, didn't think about it until this mission trip I did first year university. And obviously university is a pretty critical time in life where you're thinking, what am I doing with my life? What's my job going to be? And yeah, this thought came back. And I think because during this mission trip, like I just mentioned, I got to know Jesus, and that impacted my life so much. I really felt a call from God to know Him and to introduce him to others, like help other people get to know him. And I think it's interesting, some missionaries you talk to, they say, oh, I have a calling to this country or this people. But I never really felt that specifically. I did spend a lot of time in Turkey and for a long time thought I was going to be a missionary in Turkey. But yeah, this calling that God had given me was quite fluid and I could do it anywhere. And during my 4 years at university, as I was studying, I always had 3 months off in the summer. And basically those, yeah, months off, I would go to Turkey. I think I was in Turkey 4 or 5 times during my university career, either for short-term mission trips or connecting with missionaries, doing different Building Leaders for Peace programs. And yeah, I was falling in love with these people and the country there. However, during those 4 years, there was repercussions from the war going on in Syria. There was millions of refugees flooding into Turkey. There was political unrest, an attempted coup, and the Multiply missionaries that were serving there at that time were getting kicked out. So I think the first trip I made, there was 5 families there from Multiply. And at the end, there was only a couple. And it was becoming less and less plausible for me to stay there long term. And so what happened was, I think this was after I graduated even, I went on Multiply's longest short-term program, which is 8 months. And basically you get trained and then sent to a country for your assignment. Mm-hmm. And of course I wanted to go to Turkey, but unfortunately that wasn't possible for 8 months. I could only go for 3 months on a tourist visa. And so what had happened in between was one of the families that had been living in Turkey as missionaries actually got kicked out and moved to Austria in between. Mm-hmm. And so when I was looking for another assignment country, they were kind of like, hey, come to Austria, try it out. And I was like, sure, why not? It's relatively nearby. And basically what happened was this one missionary kind of wrote me a resume, like, Sarah's good at this and she can do this. And he just handed it out to all the MB churches in Austria. And was like, who wants Sarah for 3 months for an internship? And yeah, the church in Steyr, where I am now, said, yep, we want a missionary, like, send her over here. So I think I spent like a week with that other family and then they just dropped me off and was like, see ya. And so then I spent these 3 months in Steyr working with the pastor there and the local church and really felt at home in the culture. I think partly I have some grandparents who were born in Germany. I think my family's culture is very German. The city of Kitchener used to be called Berlin, like a bit of German influence here. And yeah, so I think I just felt at home. And yeah, at the same time, as I was saying, the options in Turkey were very limited, especially as a single female in a Muslim country. I started to realize the ministry I could do would be limited. And in Austria, it was much more open. The other piece was that the church invited me back after those 3 months and was like, yeah, we'd love if you'd come back long term. That was a big piece for me. I didn't just want to go around and be like, oh, Austria is a beautiful country, nice food, schnitzel, and pick it myself. But there was an invitation. That was also really important. And then I think, yeah, other than, yeah, lots of prayer and discernment with Multiply, my family, the home church, I think the other big piece was that throughout, I'd say the past couple years before that, God had really been giving me a heart for the church. And I believe it was when I was in Austria during that first time that I had a picture from God and he was inviting me to dance with him. And I don't like dancing. And so the first time I was like, no thanks, like, but it came up.
Give me another picture, God. Give me another picture.
Exactly, like, can't be going like on a long run or something. But no, it came back. And so the second time I was like, okay, I'll dance with you. And it just became a beautiful picture of, yeah, a trusting relationship with God. And I don't know if you've danced before with a partner, but you need to be aware of what they're doing. Like, you have to be sensitive to their movements.
Or else you were stepping on their feet.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to trust them. And yeah, I just felt God's invitation first for me to dance with him, but then also a bigger invitation of him inviting me to help teach the church how to dance so that the church would be ready for the wedding day, that there would be a mature bride when Christ comes back. And that was just a beautiful picture. And as I was in Austria this time, learning that Austrian ballroom culture is a big thing there.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There
and,
you go.
And just plays really well into this picture, as well as the history of the Catholic Church in Austria and the brokenness of that. But just this, yeah, this invitation to love the church, to work in the church, to help mature the church, and yeah, to invite the church to greater things. And that, yeah, just fit really well in Austria, and as well, yeah, just for my own heart.
I love that. And he said so many really good, profound things there. So much we could go with that. One thing I love that you said there was the idea of calling too, and like wrestling through how calling can change.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a bit of my story. I thought specifically I was called to Quebec for a long time. And then honestly, if you would have asked me like 5 years ago, I would have said the last place I feel called to is Kitchener-Waterloo, right? Like that's exactly where I do not want to go. It is boring, right? Like I don't want to go there. And then sometimes God just works in those things and he changes your heart and he just says, no, just be faithful, right? Just be faithful to where I'm leading you. So I love that. One thing I'd love to hear is just like I said, this is a testimony podcast. It's a story podcast. We've been hearing your story, but do you have a story from Austria? Just something that God's been doing there that you could share with us?
Yeah. Yeah. I think in Austria, the first thing that comes to mind is just how God is uniting some of the churches together. And I don't know if you know any of the history of the church in Austria, but because the Catholic Church was so prominent, they were recognized by the government, and they, during the Reformation, then persecuted the Protestant Church. And so for a long, long time, like the Mennonites or the Protestant Church was seen like a sect or a cult. And it wasn't until 2013 when they became recognized by the government.
That
so
recently,
up until 2013, and even today, some people would still kind of, if they're true Catholics, they might see our church as a bit of like kind of on the edge, dangerous place to be. But yeah, through that, because the Mennonite Church was so small, they decided to partner with the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church, a Romanian Church, and I think the Union of Evangelical Churches to form what's called the Free Church. And as the Free Church, then they had enough members to be recognized by the government. And in Austria, it's also interesting, in the schools, children have to take either a religious course or an ethics course. In religion, you could take Catholicism or you could take Islam. And since 2013, now they can take a free church course. So that's a big thing. As well as when people go for hospital visits, they're just recognized by the government. They can go as a free church member, whereas before that wasn't possible. And this happened in 2013. But since then, I really see this partnership continue. And so it was cool. Last fall, there was a big evangelistic project in our area of Upper Austria. And basically, these churches that were part of the Free Church and even also the Catholic Church came together to help run this campaign. And it was a campaign where they would make video testimonies of people sharing how they came to know Jesus in that region's dialect. And there was a whole bunch of promotional videos and posters. And we would meet as churches together to pray for this campaign. And that was really cool for me, just to network and get to know some of the other churches. One of the ladies I met is now kind of a mentor for me. I meet with her monthly. And that was a great connection, just through these prayer evenings. And still we're continuing that. And it's just really cool to see, because we're so small, we realize we need help and we need to reach out to the broader community. And it's been really cool to see just how that partnership has worked. Whereas I think in many countries, when the church is so big, they don't have much to do with the other denominations. But I think it's a blessing for us there in Austria to experience that and to see how God is uniting his church.
I love that. And you're basically saying too, we're on the same team, right? Mm-hmm. Like how can God work through us together? So I that's really encouraging. I really love that. I think there's a lot for us even in Canada that we could probably learn from that, right? What it means to work together for the proclamation of the gospel and for the advancement of the gospel. So yeah, that's really encouraging. So my final question for you is, what is something recently, like the word testimony is like, right? Not just our past stories, but what is God currently doing in our life? What is something recently God's been doing in your life?
Yeah. I think one of the things God has been challenging me with is trust. And I see, it's interesting, in the Austrian culture, there's a lot of mistrust between people, between God and people. And I think God's really been opening my eyes to that and also challenging me personally with this idea of trust. And yeah, do I trust God with this? Like when I'm worrying about that, am I really trusting God with that? And I think, yeah, the other piece that kind of ties in is also around God's grace and this idea to, do I trust God's grace? For a long time, I think my perspective of grace was kind of like, it's like an emergency thing that I can draw from. If I make a mistake or if I sin, like I can have God's grace because I can't do it on my own. But God's, yeah, been showing me that's not, it's not just an emergency thing. Like it's something I can live in each day, and it's a source and a place where I can, yeah, just be. And I think there's a very big difference between living as a person who's kind of afraid to make mistakes and then, okay, grace is there if I need it, as opposed to just a person living and acting and interacting with people out of grace. It gives it a totally different feel. It takes off the pressure, and it, yeah, it really, I think, challenges my trust in God as well.
I love that. And I don't really have any more questions for you, except how can we be praying for you in this season?
Yeah, I think some of the bigger ways you can be praying are for the church in Austria, for new leaders to be raised up. Right now, if I look at the leadership dynamic across the Mennonite church and across the Free Church, the leaders are getting older and there's not really many people ready to replace them. And yeah, I see a bit of a gap, because I think it's so valuable to learn from the leaders that are now and to disciple people into those roles, as opposed to having a bit of a break and then kind of reacting, oh shoot, there's no leaders, like now we need to make new ones. Like I think there's a real value in mentorship. And so yeah, a big prayer request right now would be for leadership development in Austria, for yeah, young people to have a heart for the church, for young people to kind of catch a vision for what God is doing and be excited about that and just grow in their own faith and grow into those leadership positions. Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. That is very encouraging. It's so encouraging to hear what God is doing, what God is doing in your life. I don't know when this podcast is being released, but as of right now, when we're recording, you're leaving in 2 weeks. Yep. Safe travels as you travel back to Austria, and blessings over the next time that you're there until you come back. Again, thank you for having this conversation and for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.